Before I read the gospel this morning, I'd like us to pause just for a moment and consider something I think is rather central to all our lives. If you would join me and close your eyes, and just for a moment, be present to the person or a person in your life whom you most love. Is not this person the one who draws something from you that otherwise you would never give? Is not this person the one for whom you would pour out all of yourself in his or her defense? How much do you need and want to protect this person? How much to spare them some of the pains and struggles of life? How much do you want desperately to assure them that you will always, always be there? How much do you expect back from this person? How would your life be different were this person not a part of your life? What do you feel when you are separated? What might it be like if you were never to see them again? And that is love. And now I would like to read the gospel passage that we've heard a million times with that as the backdrop. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And so there will be one flock and one shepherd. The Gospel of the Lord. We have said so many times in the last few months, and I think I've maybe bored you with it, that the purpose of Jesus' life was to reveal something about God, not to start a church, not to form a band, not to do any of the miracle things that he did. He came to reveal God to us. It was the God he encountered in the desert, God he encountered in his young life, and the experience that changed his life and gave purpose to his days, and why he spent expressing what he learned and what he experienced as best he could, so that others would understand that God is not confined to the temple, that God is not housed anywhere, that there is no condition that one must meet, that there is nothing that can interfere with your relationship with God, that God is beyond all our definitions, that God is, in short, mystery. But the mystery of God, I think, as Jesus reveals it, is exactly what you just described for yourself in loving somebody. The image of the Good Shepherd is certainly timely in Jesus' life because most of the people were shepherds. And unlike today, you know, we have sheep. We have several growing right over here next door if you want to visit them this morning. They always like company. We don't have much contact with that kind of life. But in Jesus' world, a shepherd and his sheep were intimately bonded together for a number of reasons. One of them was economics. In order to survive, and it's all about survival, in order to survive, a shepherd had to be very, very careful about what happened to the flock. Because obviously, if the flock was eaten up by the wolves, the security of his and his family would decrease. And so there was a great urgency about having a watchful relationship with these sheep. But beyond economics, it was also a social status. Because a person owned sheep, they had a place in society that was considered to be somewhat important. Because people used sheep not only for food, but they also used it in the Jewish tradition for worship at the temple. Sheep were central to their experience of God and their experience of security in their culture. And more than that, I think shepherds had some of the personal stock in their sheep. Because unlike most of the way we see animals herded together in large crowds and going from one thing to another and grazing, etc., they had small flocks. They had small penned areas where they would keep them at night away from the dangers of the wolves. But also they had a name for each one of them. Each one was called by name, and each one of them would recognize the voice of the shepherd. What's important is to recognize that when you had four or five shepherds gathering all their sheep together in one pen at night, and together they kept security around these sheep from the dangers of the night, come morning, how did they know which ones were theirs? Very simply, each one of them had a name, and they recognized the voice of their shepherd. And when their name was called, they would follow the shepherd. That sounds almost like something out of Disney, but that's the truth. There was a personal bond between a shepherd and the sheep because both of them depended on each other. It was an interdependence for security and for life. So when Jesus pulls out this thing about, I am the good shepherd, there's something very powerful taking place here. It had little to do with the image of the sheep. What Jesus is talking about is something that, I guess, can elude us or get buried underneath so much of our preoccupations today. Something that's extremely vital to our existence, our happiness, and our peace, and that is to recognize that there is love in my life that gives me purpose. And it's not just a frivolous passing love. It is a love to which I am bonded, a love upon which I depend, a love that depends on me, a love that is dialogue, a love that is a true relationship, a love that would call me even to die for the person I love. Now, in Christian theology, Jesus gave his life for all of us. And theologically speaking, that's a wonderful thing. Truly. We depend on that. But more than that, what is behind all of that is the reality that gets lost. That Jesus was doing what he did. He gave his life in his own time, and he did it because of his faith in a God who loved him, a God he trusted, a God on whom he depended, a God who depended on him because God had no voice, God had no presence, except for a person like Jesus, for a person like Jesus, to make God real and present in the world. I'll say that again. God needed Jesus to make God's presence known in the world. Because the only way that God can be made real is through the gift of love that we have to offer each other. Again, that makes a great card, wonderful banner, maybe a great hymn. But the reality is that what Jesus did was assure us that the God we seek and the God who is searching for us always, God is after us at all times, waiting for us to say yes. That relationship supersedes, in fact, embellishes or encloses all that we have in life. I talk about God's embrace in the prayers. The embrace of God is like the embrace of the person you love the most, but better yet, the embrace of the person who loves you the most, embracing you. That's the reality that Jesus is revealing. It's that simple, it's that human, it's that real, it's that tangible. But in our world, we're losing more and more touch with each other. Our phones have replaced conversations. Television has replaced conversations. We don't do much talking about things that are important. We argue mostly about politics and what's wrong with the world. How much of a day is given over to conversation about the importance of the love we have for each other? We're very busy. But that's what Jesus is talking about in this. It's a very simple truth, but it's a very hard reality. But it comes down to you and me. Comes down to you and me. Yeah, you and me, not you and I. Comes down to you and I. Object of the preposition. Got to get those right. It comes down to you and me about whether God is present in the world. It really does. Because we've heard before that, you know, Paul talks about we hold a great treasure. We have the treasure of God's presence within us as in earthen vessels. In the vessels of clay, we hold this wonderful truth. And other people have said, you know, the body, the human person, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We heard that a lot growing up. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, so go out there and be the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know, and don't do anything wrong. We've also heard the mystics. We've heard the mystics describe Teresa of Avila, who says, we are now the voice of God. We are now the hands of God. We are now the ears, the heart, and the very presence of God. Because we don't recognize it doesn't mean it's not true. So I ask myself a lot of times in the course of the day, of course I'm nuts, but I ask myself a lot of times in the day, how am I right now revealing God? What am I doing right now that's somehow revealing God? I think in a world in which truth has become arbitrary, negativity seems to rule the day, and there's an awful lot of oppositional stuff happening in so many facets of our lives, most of which we have no control, that perhaps we are being called today to consider how we, in the way we live, in the words we speak, in the things we choose, in what we do, how are we revealing God to the world that knows us and looks upon us and shares life with us? Take that to work tomorrow. Take it to the neighbors tomorrow. But that's the hard truth. It's not easy being a believer. And as we look back and go back further and further back to where we're supposed to be, it's even harder. Anyway, God bless you. Amen.